Hello, you're listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast. I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen. Coming up on today's show, we're chatting with Broadway star Julian Murney and Tom Solomon about his new album, Musicals Volume 1.
West End actor and BBC voice of musical theatre Tom Solomon has released his new album, Musicals Volume 1, and we are delighted that Tom is with us now. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Hi, Maureen. I'm good, thank you.
Good.
How have you been?
Yeah, really good. I've been great, actually, considering all that's been going on. I've had a lovely Christmas and New Year. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, good, good. We love to hear it. Okay, Tom. So how did your new album come about?
Well, during lockdown, I was getting bored, as everyone was.
And so you didn't
staring,
make
staring at my Netflix, staring at my Netflix, going, oh, I've got to do something else other than just, you know, watch all these TV programs, and decided that I would record a few albums. As you know, my first one's called Musicals Volume 1, which gives me the option to record
Hint.
Volume 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, as many as I possibly can. But yeah, so I decided that, you know, I've never recorded any musical theatre, surprisingly, considering that's what I've done for years. And so,
well, considering you're the BBC voice of musical theatre, that is disappointing.
Yes.
That is a little bit, isn't it? But whenever I got into the recording studio, I wanted to record something that I didn't sing on stage, you know. So yeah. I did record a different album, but that was classical crossover. So this time I decided, why not? I'll sing some musicals.
And how did you choose what musical songs to sing?
Well, I've actually got 34 tracks done. So that
I've got
them ready to record the next volumes. But for this one, I chose 8 of the tracks that I thought were classic tracks from musical theatre. And also 4 of them are from shows that I've performed in.
Okay.
Okay, so then clearly volume 2, volume 3, possibly volume 4.
Possibly.
How are you going to categorize the other volumes? If volume 1 is classical, how do you think volume 2 will be coming out as?
I think volume 2 might be a bit more of the American musical theatre. So I will have, yes. So maybe a bit of The Life of the Party from Wild Party. Maybe She's a Woman from Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Kiss of the Spider Woman.
One of my favorites.
So, I mean, they are that's a classic in itself, but maybe go for the American musical theatre route. Something a bit different and a bit more upbeat. Maybe use what you've got from The Life, things like that.
Excellent. Lots to look forward to. There definitely has to be. Once you've called something volume 1, you're going to have at least a volume 2, at least.
Well, exactly.
No, it'd be really awkward, wouldn't it? I believe it's why they didn't call the Madness of King George III, the Madness of King George III in America, because the Americans would have apparently been confused there wasn't 1 and 2.
That's exactly it.
Oh, of course.
You know, so at least you called it volume 1. So
well, they don't have Harry Potter two parts, do they? They just have 1 now. In America.
Oh yeah, the
Harry Potter's been made into 1 part. They can't. Yeah,
we don't talk about that here, Tom, because they don't sing. if they don't sing, we don't care.
Oh, fair enough.
So, talking of singing, musical theatre, what has been your favourite role to date that you've played?
My favourite role is probably Anatoly in Chess.
Oh,
yes, I love the score. It's a brilliant classic rock. Classic rock score, really rock pop score, and it was the best score I've ever sung. I've played Tony in West Side Story, which is obviously the most classic I've ever sung, but for me the enjoyment factor was Anatoly.
Yeah, well, you've got both of these tracks from both of these characters on the album, which is great, isn't it? So yeah, it's your favorite. So we are going to play a track now from the album. We're going to play Anthem. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Anthem is sung by Anatoly at the end of Act 1 of Chess, and it's basically just saying how much he loves his motherland, Russia, but he's got problems with his relationships and his wife and everything going on in his life, and it's basically the anthem of chess.
Tom, it's been lovely having you on Sunday Show Tunes this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
No man, no madness, though their sad power may prevail, can possess conquer my country's heart. They rise to fame. She is eternal. Long before nations' lines were drawn, when no flags flew, when no armies stood, my land was born. And you ask me why I love her. Through wars, death, and despair, the constant, we who don't care. And you wonder, will I leave her? But how? I cross over borders, but I'm still
Solomon singing Anthem, originally from Chess there, but that's from his musicals album, Musicals Volume 1, music and lyrics by Benny Anderson, Bjorn Ulvaeus, and Tim Rice.
Tom Solomon's Musicals Volume 1 is out now. For more details, head over to Tom's website, which is tomsolomonsinger.com.
Broadway star Julia Murney is about to return to New York's Feinstein's 54 Below to share in the magical situation known as a non-Zoom concert. We are thrilled that on Zoom, we have the fabulous Julia Murney with us now. Hi, honey, how are you?
Non-Zoom concert!
Woo! Oh, my gosh. Which means I have to put pants on.
Yeah.
I know, that's the sad part. Or, you know, you could be like, you know, Elaine Stritch and not wear pants.
Yeah, just don't stand up.
You could.
It's okay.
I mean, you know, like the audience, the way that stage is set, they could get a whole different
this
show.
This could be a whole different show.
You might start charging more. That's all there is to it. It's just it's a larger fee.
So let's cut to the chase. Tell us about your new concert, Soothe My Soul. What can audiences expect?
They can expect to see all of my anxieties live and in living color. I definitely don't do solo concerts in New York very often. I can't remember. I think it's definitely been 7 years, maybe eight, since my last one in New York.
Wow.
I've done plenty not in New York. But it's just because I just feel like when I do a show here, it's for a different crowd, in that it's people who may have come to the last. So I don't know. It's just a matter of my entire set list choice takes a different mentality. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, usually when I'm putting together a set list for concerts outside of New York, I choose things that go nicely together. Also generally things that I know that I've done before. So that stress is taken out. This is a bunch of stuff I've not sung before. I'm choosing it. There's no complaint here. I am the boss of me.
It's not viewer's choice then. It's not like you're going to sing this.
I'm the moron who is choosing this. And it just, Like, that makes me anxious, to be perfectly frank. Like, singing makes me anxious at this point. I'm not, like, I had so many friends that during these last almost 2 years, God save, oh, there's all kinds of snow coming down outside my window right now. Look at that. Uh-huh. I had several friends who would put stuff up on Instagram quite often of them singing, and them, you know, that's how they dealt with their fear and sorrow of what these years were. And I did not have a song in my heart. I just didn't. Mm. And mm. I wasn't mad. I was thrilled that these other people were doing those things, because mm-hmm. they were making me right. feel better. It wasn't like, I was like, shut it, you know, but I was, but it made me feel very, even more sort of closed in. I just sort of kept buckling in on myself. And so these songs that I've chosen are, some of them are songs that I heard during the pandemic that, I mean, we're still in it, during the last,
yeah,
our big lockdown, that just made me feel happy and made me feel good. Some of them are songs that lyrically relate to what is going on or how I feel about what is going on. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this also happens when I do New York shows. It's not very heavy with musical theater.
Which is interesting.
Which is not the case when I leave New York to do shows. Also because, you know, you're being asked to sing whatever, concerts at the Gulf Shore Playhouse in Naples, Florida.
Right.
Like, they're bringing you because of show tunes. They're mm-hmm. not bringing right. you because of your, like, love for some relatively obscure pop artist who never even had a hit, but you ended up with their album. You know, they don't care about that. I put one of those in there. You can
hear you sing Wicked.
Yeah, but let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah,
they're here for the Wicked. I mean, and it's yeah. so funny right now because the sort of madness of Omicron that's going on right now in New York City, and all the understudies that are and swings and standbys mm-hmm. being thrown on and coming in from. I mean, there's a woman who I don't know her, but she was in Wicked like something like 7 years ago. And she left.
Oh, right about this.
And she moved to, I believe, Chicago, and is now a computer coder.
I was just telling Maureen about this.
She's a smart person. She knows things in her brain. And for reasons, I don't know what the chain of events were, but I think they were down, and they down people on Broadway. And so they called her and said, can you come stand by for, I don't know, a couple weeks or something? I don't know all the specifics. But then she ended up having to go on. I don't think she had any rehearsal. First of all, I could not fit in the costume. Let's just talk for a second. If someone brought me that costume right now, any of them, I'd be like, how are you going to zip that? What's going to go on there?
Let's just do a laced back thing.
Exactly. Have fun. Have fun back there. I also don't think I could sing it. And then we'll just put, remember it? I don't.
That fries my mind when you see people. It's like so-and-so's just gone on. They haven't done the show. It's like, I can't remember why I walked into the kitchen half an hour ago.
Absolutely. And I mean, I granted was out of the show, have been out of the show much longer even than she has, but still like a month
That's
out.
That's incredible.
A month
that
out,
really is.
What is it? But she just nailed it. And it's just, again, she's a smarty pants. She knows things. So maybe her brain is like, yeah, I got it.
Her brain it's wired differently, definitely than mine. I'm kind of like, ooh, squirrel.
But there have been these internet lists that have popped up here and there of people like listing the alphabets they would like to see like run in and pinch hit
and do
right now. And when I'm on that list, I usually get tagged. That's the only reason I see that list. Mm. I'm always like, oh no. Oh no.
Maureen, once we finish chatting with Julia, let's go and find those lists and make sure her name is on all of them. You know,
I will say
tag Wicked as well.
At this point, I think it's a matter of which former Green Girl will be morable first.
Yes.
I think that's
where that's got to happen soon, hasn't it?
I don't know if it's going to happen soon. We're all a little shy of it, but it could happen.
It's going to happen.
You heard it here first.
Exactly. Okay, you have had, speaking of Wicked, you have had a long and varied career. Did you always want to be a musical theater actor?
No. You mean like when I wanted
to? You wanted to be a computer analyst?
Yes, I wanted to be a computer analyst always. No, when I was a kid, I grew up in New York City and my dad's an actor. And so I was around theater. It wasn't like it was a complete mystery in any way.
Right.
But I didn't have any sort of gumption of like, I want to do it. Also, to be clear, there's no, like, I don't know what they would call it in England, but like, there's no community theater in New York City.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called it's amateur theater here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not a thing. So those opportunities weren't readily available. I saw the original Annie on Broadway, but mostly because if you were a little girl in the 70s, you knew Annie, period. Right. It was a national
story.
It wasn't like that you loved musicals or not, or didn't. And then when I got into middle school, I joined the choir because some of my friends were joining choir and I was like a little sheep and I was like, okay, I'll do it. And that totally changed everything. Cause Miss Morris is her name. She ran an amazing choir and it was serious. Like she asked a lot of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in, I don't know, you are like 10, 11, 12 about.
Right.
And she asked a lot of us and she challenged us and she made us do stuff. And then when I was in high school, I went to, for 2 summers, I went to a theater summer camp called Stage Door Manor, which has, there's a movie called Camp. Ostensibly about Stage Door Manor. I mean, it's fictionalized, but it's not,
not too off.
Yeah, it's not too off. So I went there just because my parents were like, you cannot hang out in the city anymore. And I was too young to get a job. Right. So they were forcing me to go to camp and I didn't want to go. I was totally petulant and obnoxious just because I was, you know, scared. I don't want to meet new people. And they really sent me kind of under distress and I became totally enamored. The first show I ever did was there. I was in the chorus of the musical Applause. That's not an appropriate musical.
No, that's not your kid's musical.
Here's the thing about Stage Door. They do so many shows every summer because they have X amount of venues and each venue has 2 shows in it at the end of every 3 weeks. So it's 3, 6, 9 weeks total. Like, so they go way out of the box. And I mean, truly the musicals I did while I was there, I did Applause. And then I was Hanyak in Chicago, inappropriate. And then the next summer I was Mazeppa in Gypsy, inappropriate. And then, as my crowning inappropriate achievement, my last show there was Anita in West Side Story.
Brilliant on every level. On every level.
Inappropriate. And yet, obsessed. I was obsessed.
Yeah.
This is not your average path into musical theater. It's not quite the answer to the question I was expecting, actually.
And then I went to university, and then whatever, here we are.
And then the rest is history. The rest is history. Listen, we're out of time. I can't believe it.
No!
I know. This is very sad. But and sadly, I don't think we're not going to be in New York for your concerts. But is there any chance there might be a live album?
Oh, honestly, I hadn't even thought of it.
Well, I've just put that out there.
You should.
You threw that out there.
It can happen at Feinstein's. Yeah. We know this for a fact.
It can happen.
It can happen. Honestly, like I've been trying to figure out whether or not to, if I can stream it, But there's a there's a whole financial thing though involved.
No, there is. Yeah,
there enough people have to stream it to make it financially
worth
it.
Right.
And generally in these kinds of concerts, I lose money anyway because if it was just me and a piano, boom, it would be fine. But it's not. I have a band. I have it like because you want to do a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so I fully accept that I'm not going to make any money, but I don't want to go like so far into the hole.
Yeah. So me and Maureen streaming guaranteed streaming. That's probably not going to cut that then.
That's exactly. Not enough.
Too. If you have like 38 more friends.
Well, maybe this could happen. Maybe we'll make this happen.
This is a challenge. You know, it's
a while to February, isn't it? Let's talk about
that. It
is. Listen, we have to go, but perhaps let's not leave it 6 years because you worked out it was 6 years you were last on the radio show.
It's ridiculous. Let's do it sooner and then we won't be so rushed.
Yeah, that will be fab. Julia Murney, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, love having you. Julia Murney, Soothe My Soul is at Feinstein's 54 Below on the 25th and 28th of February. For tickets and more details, head over to 54below.com.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'd like to say a huge thank you to Julia Murney and Tom Solomon.
If you've enjoyed listening, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite listening platform.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen.
And you've been listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.